From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM, emerging artist bumper music for the first couple hours tonight. And then later on tonight, the tomb of Jesus, has it been found? By the way, do you feel like you're an hour off today? Well, you are, because we're now off of daylight saving time, and it gets darker even faster. Here's what's happening. FBI Director James Comey says that the agency has reviewed all of the Hillary Clinton emails recently discovered in an unrelated case, and that his conclusion in July is not to prosecute Clinton after the FBI's original investigation into her use of private email at the server still stands. Now, is this a boost to the Clinton campaign? Let's check in with Jerry Corsi from WorldNet Daily. Jerry, what do you think about this?
Well, it was certainly a shock. I mean, I don't know how the FBI could come to that conclusion as quickly as it did, unless this is just a political determination not to prosecute Hillary Clinton. Monitoring on the internet all night, I think the Comey announcement backfired. I guess there are Clinton supporters who were saying, well, this exonerates Hillary Clinton, but you know, the intensity of the reaction from the Trump supporters indicates to me a moral indignation and a feeling, George, that the election is being rigged, as Donald Trump's saying. Donald Trump just finished speaking in Leesburg, Pennsylvania at nearly 1 o'clock in the morning to an overflow crowd with thousands standing in the darkness. I mean, I traveled for 3 weeks at the end of the campaign last year and traveling press with Mitt Romney, and he had big crowds, but nothing like Donald Trump has been drawing, especially today.
It's going to be a close election still, don't you think?
I think so, George. I think it's going to be a down to the wire in some states. It's kind of either going to be Hillary Clinton wins narrowly or Donald Trump produces a landslide in some states. And I think we're, you know, the polls have been oversampling based on the turnout of Democrats in 2008 and 2012. I don't think Hillary Clinton has the enthusiasm to draw the voters that Barack Obama drew in 2008 and 2012. And I think, George, that's the most important factor, is the turnout on Tuesday.
All right, Jerry, you'll be with us Tuesday night. We are on for 5 hours. Jerry Corsi, WND.com. In Delaware, a 39-year-old woman suffered critical injuries after an apparatus used to launch pumpkins into the air exploded at a large outdoor competition. And a 56-year-old man was also hurt with the non-life-threatening injuries he has. Both had been struck by debris from the explosion. Go figure. Jeez. In Cushing, Oklahoma, an earthquake rattling residents Sunday night all over the state of Oklahoma. The U.S. Geological Survey initially reported the quake as a 5.3, downgraded it to a 5.0, and an Italian priest has branded recent earthquakes that have shaken that country, killing hundreds of people and leaving tens of thousands homeless, as divine punishment for gay civil unions. Now, the controversial comments have now sparked the wrath of the Vatican, who have now quickly moved to refute the outspoken views spoken by the priest. Cal Ori is with us, and she wrote the book, The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes, about the late Jim Berkland. Cal, this Oklahoma story, of course, 5.0, pretty good size. Fracking, what do you think?
Well, yeah, without a doubt, I just read that, and I did predict in the 2016 forecast that this would happen. I told you, I believe, that there would be an earthquake swarm. There was 19 quakes the past week in the Midwest, and I said it would be linked to fracking, and we had, September 3rd, they had a 5.6 or 5.8 there, 25 miles away on an unknown fault in Pawnee, and this was in Cushing, population 7,900. This one was really felt, though, and they're actually closing the schools down tomorrow to assess damage, and they're beginning medical calls, I read. And yes, it was downgraded, but when it's that shallow, five miles depth, it's felt. You really can feel it. And, this one's damaged. I don't know. You just Google it. You'll see pictures, these old pictures. The foundations may be hurt, and there's a lot of, what do you call it, when buildings crumble, you can see a lot of rubble, is that what you call it, on the ground.
That's right.
So it kind of spooked people. And also what's interesting, I'm sure Jim Berkland, the late geologist, would, excuse me, he would mention that the full moon, the supermoon, is coming up on November 14th. So will there be aftershocks? Yes. Will there be, you know, something stronger, maybe a 6.0, where we're getting into closer to a major quake? You know me, I'll give the odds 50-50.
And they're talking about the big one still on the West Coast, Cal. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to mention that, because last time I was on, we had that big aggressive swarm down in Salton Sea, and I gave it a 60%. You go, 60%, Cal? Okay, it did come back on October 31st, and I thought of you. And it was a little swarm, but it just fizzled. It fizzled, and that's how they can do it. Sometimes they, you know, they come back, and sometimes they end up being a bigger quake. We still know Southern California is a time bomb. Seismologists, geologists will tell you, Salton Sea area, that, you know, it's ripe for a quake, more so than the Bay Area. It's just a matter of time.
All right, Gal, thank you so much. You know, if you step outside tomorrow night, you might notice the moon is looking bigger and brighter than usual. Bigger, in fact, than it's appeared at any point in the last 68 years. This month's supermoon will be the biggest so far of the 21st century. I'll have Dr. Sky on tomorrow night, and we'll talk about that for a little bit. The supermoon. Up next, author, researcher Christian Weil joins us to talk about stem cells, turmeric, and macular degeneration. Incredible stories. And most of them will affect all of you next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Christian Weil, author, researcher, has appeared as a regular guest on our program a number of times. He's authored the groundbreaking Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke for the Prevention and Natural Treatment of Heart Disease, followed, of course, by Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair for Heart Failure Patients. And as you recall, several patients who have been avid Coast to Coast listeners went through the program that Christian was able to find for them, and they did some miraculous things. Now, as a voice for adult stem cell research, he has authored stem cell and turmeric research reports as well. His formula has become a favorite of Coast to Coast listeners, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Christian, welcome back, my friend.
And it's good to be with you, George.
Or back to be good. It doesn't matter.
Either way you look at it.
Gosh, you know, how many years now have you and I been talking about the turmeric and stem cells and fixing up your body? How many years?
I think it's 14 or 15 years, maybe 16.
Well, you know, I've been doing the show 16, going on 14, yeah. 2 years plus as a backup.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
It's amazing. It is truly amazing. And I remember the day I was talking to you and I said, Christian, research turmeric.
Yes.
See what that does. And now Big Pharma is all over this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all over. I just saw today, I started adding it up. I think there's 228 trials. Big Pharma is trying to cash in on it, which we knew eventually they would. There's just too much in favor of this tiny spice. You know, a friend of mine called me earlier tonight. He said, in your formula, Christian, I see you have Boswellia. I said, yes. He said, you know, Boswellia is frankincense, and it's what the wise men brought to the
manger.
Christ.
That's right.
To the manger. And I said, I know that. He said, but did you know that the gold that they brought was not metal gold? The gold they brought was turmeric.
No.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's it. And that's what Marco Polo brought back from the Orient to his emperor in the 12th century.
Well, we'll get into that, but let's talk about something that is really hot right now, and that is stem cells. Where do we stand with stem cell research and using stem cells for people? I know Peyton Manning got stem cells shot into his neck. What's going on?
Sure did. Well, you know, looking back in the history of medicine, George, about every 100 years, some discovery comes along that causes a paradigm shift in the advancement in medical treatment. In 1921, it was the discovery of insulin. And a few years later, penicillin became a lifesaver for millions of people, and eventually, the Salk vaccine for polio. how ironic that all these years later, Salk Institute is in the FDA trials today using turmeric to repair the damage to the brains of stroke victims. But today, modern science has, with stem cells, arguably the greatest single breakthrough in history. So we wonder how and when it will impact our lives and our children's, and particularly for those families who need repair. Repair with some form of catastrophic chronic disease like a Parkinson, heart failure, cancer, Alzheimer's. And that's the concern. People have been waiting, hoping against hope, that there would be some positive news coming from that community. So often proving today, thousands of biomedical studies are also mediating against many of these inflammatory-based diseases. And 600 conditions now are reporting being helped by turmeric. Now, I'll go in and out between turmeric and stem cells.
Well, they're related somehow.
They are, and those were the two that I picked on. And at one time, you remember, we had the turmeric research report, which became the stem cell and turmeric research report. And as we go along, you will see that the two are very related in the therapies that are being developed right now with the FDA. So the therapeutic benefits of turmeric are almost too many to mention.
There was an incredible controversy over the use of embryonic stem cells, and that was using stem cells from, you know, the embryos.
Yes.
Of you know, aborted children and what have you. And that is not necessary anymore, is it?
No, and I'm going to really get into the details of that. I'm going to be totally objective, and I'm going to let the records speak for themselves. Tonight, George, with the advantage of perfect hindsight, coast-to-coast listeners can review what is in the record and decide for themselves what we've been told about stem cell research that is proven accurate, and what is not so accurate, what is working and what isn't. It's kind of like a poker game. You were in the Navy, George. You played a lot of poker?
Not in the Navy.
Oh, but you did. Okay.
But I played my share.
Your share, okay.
I was too busy in the Navy. Jeez.
After all the bluffing and the posturing, someone says, I call. Turn up your cards. Show us what you got. So to do this right tonight, we need to go back to the beginning, 53 years ago. In 1963, the embryonic stem cell was first discovered by two biophysicists at the University of Toronto in Canada. And the two gentlemen were James Till and Ernest McCullough. Now, that discovery didn't mean much to the general public at the time because we never knew what a stem cell was. But it did generate a great amount of interest in the scientific community. Now, George, I remember more than once you reminding me how slowly the wheels of medicine turn.
Yes.
So now we have to fast forward 33 years to 1996, when finally the first of two events present themselves that capture the public's attention and bring all of us into this stem cell conversation. What is ironic is so many of the events we will talk about tonight you brought to my attention as subjects for comment during the news when you would call on me. As a matter of fact, your listeners have met several of the world leaders in stem cell research who are directing the FDA trials at the major universities. We've had them on the show.
And this is just cutting edge research, Christian.
Cutting edge. Here, you're hearing it from somebody said you got a lot of friends, Christian, in high places because we have had some of the best on the show. Now, the first of two important events was when embryologist Ian Wilmot of Edinburgh University in Scotland announced to the world that he had successfully cloned a lamb from the mammary gland of a Dorset sheep, which he affectionately named Dolly the Sheep.
That's right.
He named her after Dolly Parton.
I hope she appreciates that.
I'm sure she did. She's got a great sense of humor. Occasionally comes up whenever somebody is talking about Dolly, they'll ask, whatever happened to Dolly the sheep? Well, George, I'm sad to tell you this, but Dolly brought the farm in 2003, and she's been stuffed now, and she resides at the National Museum of Scotland, and visiting hours are 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Now, she lived for 7 years. Is that pretty good?
Well, no. It's the half-life of a Dorset sheep.
Ooh. So I'm wondering if cloned specimens,
yeah,
and species
a lot of tumors,
live only half your expected life.
But think of her moment of fame. She had her 15 minutes, boy.
Well,
the whole world knew
did.
About Dolly.
Yeah, but would you want to be a cloned person, Christian, with a normal lifespan of, let's say, 80, but you could only make it to 40?
One of me is enough, you know. No, I wouldn't. I'd rather be around a long time.
Yeah.
I want to be talking to you a long time from now, George.
So is there something inherently wrong with cloning?
Well, the man who invented it turned against it. So around that same time, a second event occurred that did, for the first time, put a human face on the subject of stem cells. And this is where most of us join the stem cell discussion. And as many reporters have said, is where the stem cell war began. That's what you were referring to. One of our favorite actors, Christopher Reeve, had been thrown from his horse, you know.
God rest his soul.
Yes, severed his spinal cord and became a quadriplegic. Now, because of Ian Wilmot's earlier success with an embryonic stem cell, Christopher's medical team was sincerely convinced that embryonic stem cells could not only repair their patient's spine, but it also would provide cures for all the major catastrophic diseases. And they encouraged the actor to go before Congress to advocate for federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, representing that diseases like Parkinson's and MS and heart failure and Alzheimer's, cerebral palsy, and particularly spinal injury, the very condition that had so impacted Christopher's life, would all be remedied with an embryonic stem cell. But in fact, to this day, it's never happened. There has never been a successful embryonic stem cell procedure because of unresolved scientific issues, even though the ban for federal funding was lifted by Obama 9 years ago. As an example, tonight, these years later, there are 16 trials for embryonic research. There are, in contrast, 2,540 adult stem cell trials currently in progress.
Wow.
I reported to you 4 years ago that there were, at the time, 4,400 adult stem cell FDA trials, and only one for embryonic research, which shut down within a few weeks because of the scientific reasons when cysts began forming in the pretrial animal subjects. So now, George, with the benefit of a rearview mirror, we can look back at the past 17 years. I think it's important in putting all of this in perspective to share with Coast to Coast what's been going on behind the scenes among the world-leading stem cell physicians, their patients, and Congress that most of us have never heard about and may be learning about tonight for the first time.
Is it safe to assume that one day, regardless of the affliction, whether it's a heart, liver, kidney, pancreas, whatever, stem cells may be the method to treat it?
I don't see any reason other than that they will be the ones that will do it. Because, first of all, our bodies are built from our stem cells. And what we talk about with autologous adult stem cells, these are the body repair cells. They literally circulate in your bloodstream looking for the point of injury. Sounds pretty far out, but that's what they do. They recognize the point of injury and they heal it. And when we're children, our bodies are growing rapidly and we are releasing from our bone marrow tremendous amounts of our adult stem cells.
Well, hold on, Christian. We're going to be back right after the break to talk more about stem cells. We'll get into turmeric and all the incredible studies that are going on right now. 228 FDA studies into that as well. And then later on, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Christian Wild with us, the researcher, the author, as we're talking about stem cells, the use of turmeric. A big pharma has discovered it now, folks, years after we did, and they're jumping on board. We'll get into that in a second, but let's wrap up some stem cells here for a while, Christian. They're using it on everything now these days, aren't they?
Well, you're seeing a lot of cosmetics and things advertised. Here's the real benefit from adult cells is when they're able to take them and with growth factors, multiply them into the 100 million, 200, 300, 400 million range, and then inject them back into your body. And at that point, their repair ability is incredible. Now, here's what was happening about 2 years ago. A very competent researcher and physician, Christopher Centeno in Bloomfield, Colorado, had healed 800 severely advanced arthritic patients.
800?
Yep, and he was just on a roll. The FDA came in and said, you can't do that anymore.
Why not?
You can't use your own stem cells. They are classified as a drug, and therefore you're in violation.
They were his stem cells.
Well, each patient's stem cells.
Oh, all right.
So what they were saying is if you manipulate them by adding growth factors to get them into a therapeutic range that's necessary to really give you the kind of repair you need, you're in violation.
Jeez.
So you're seeing a lot of things being done with a very limited amount of your own cells, which they can centrifuge and use that day or the next day, but they cannot use the therapeutic amounts that would really bring about the repair that you would need. You know, I'll take you back, George.
Well, let me ask you, though, why? Why would they come down on this doctor because of that? Are they getting pressure from Big Pharma or other groups and agencies? I don't understand. Why would they try to push him away?
Let's try this one, George. If you can take your stem cells, if a physician can take, this isn't that complicated. They're your own stem cells. They are not going to be altered other than they're going to be manipulated and increased. And if your stem cells can heal your body, and it costs maybe $20,000 or $30,000. If you remember the time we had Dr. Nabil Deeb on the show, mm-hmm. one of the world leaders and a personal friend, and I asked him that question. I said, for heart failure, the procedure that I was with you in the OR in Arizona, that procedure, I'm talking to the patient, he's wide awake, he's had 5 heart attacks. His heart is going to be revived with his own stem cells.
He has no choice at that time.
And he's going to go home the next day.
Yeah.
Okay? So I asked him on the show with you and I talking, what would it cost to do this procedure that would mean no more open heart surgeries for this patient, no more lifetime medications, no more open heart surgeries, stents, defibrillators, resuscitations, and on and on and on. That's all eliminated with this one-time adult stem cell procedure using his own cells. How much would that cost? He said about $30,000.
Oh, my gosh. The sink, that's one reason right there. It's
that's one
cheap.
Reason right there. If you could, but okay, then let's do this. You mentioned Peyton Manning. We know that these athletes, these multi-million dollar a year athletes, are protected by their franchises. And yet, let me just share, Sports Illustrated reported, literally hundreds of world-class athletes have been leaving the country to receive career-saving adult stem cell procedures, returning to the States with revived careers. Sports Illustrated. And a perfect example you brought up, quarterback Peyton Manning, his career was over following a serious neck injury, you might recall.
Yep.
He went to Germany, had his cells in a one-time procedure, adult cells, his own, came back to win the second Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But he's not alone, George.
He's retired now, but you know what? It resurrected his career. That
absolutely. How about Kobe Bryant? How about running back Chris Johnson? Hockey great Gordie Howe.
Well, we know it works.
Yeah, quarterbacks Bart Starr, John Brody.
So how many studies do they need before they say, let's do this?
You're asking all the right questions, because I have never heard, and I'd be the first to tell you if I did, I've never heard of anybody being harmed by their own
stem cells,
particularly if they're being prepared in a GMP laboratory, government monitored laboratory.
And let me ask you this about stem cells. When they harvest the stem cells, let's say they want to inject it in your heart or in your brain or wherever, those stem cells aren't from that organ, are they? So how does the body know, how does the stem cell know, hey, we're now in the heart, we got to fix this. And we're now in the brain, we got to fix the brain.
Because they're autologous.
What's that mean?
Well, they function in your body, which your body was made from. Now, there are certain types of stem cells that they might use for a particular organ system. But what's so amazing is that...
what you're saying is that the stem cells taken from, let's say, the bone marrow...
Right.
...will... replicate itself.
Because all of your body was built from your bone marrow.
Well, so it'll replicate itself in the organ that it's put in.
Right. And they can use allogenic, which is donor cells. They can use fat cells, adipose.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they can use umbilical cord cells. And so back when all of this with Christopher Reeve was in the news, little did people know that behind the scenes, the decision wasn't a knee-jerk one as to which direction this science should go. And there were, behind the scenes, in subcommittee hearings in D.C., Senators Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, conducting these subcommittee hearings in which they would bring physicians, some of these you had on your show, George, bring physicians who were granted permission by the FDA to try the therapy that they believed could heal a particular illness, a particular specialty that they were specialized in. For instance, this is one very interesting case. His name was Turner, and he was a photographer for National Geographic, Dennis Turner, for National Geographic magazine in Africa. He had all advanced symptoms of Parkinson's. And Dr. Michelle Levesque, who you interviewed on the show with me, was given permission to withdraw a tiny amount of stem cells from the brain of Dennis Turner. He multiplied them like we were talking, put them back into the brain, and Dennis Turner, shortly after that, reversed all symptoms of Parkinson's.
Trembling stopped. Everything stopped.
And went back to work in Africa, working for National Geographic.
All right. Now, why doesn't someone like Michael J. Fox get this done? He's got the resources to do it, and it obviously works.
Michael J. Fox formed a foundation and went in a different direction and found out it didn't work, and changed his direction. So he was appearing there, along with Christopher Reeve, in another subcommittee hearing, and he was saying, he was discussing the potential of embryonic stem cells. So, you had Laura Dominguez on the show. Laura appeared, and her friend Susan.
She was the car accident victim.
She was the quadriplegic.
Yeah.
And both of those appeared with Carlos Lima, our friend, to show that even 17 years ago, these people could be healed with their own adult stem cells.
And it's relatively fast, isn't it?
It's relatively fast. And here's another one for you. Just about 3 months ago, in the United Kingdom, in the Telegraph, a reporter was reporting on a spinal injury patient, a young man whose spinal cord had been severed in a knife attack. He was reporting that he was watching this man take his first steps after having the olfactory mucosa stem cell, nasal stem cell treatment, which is just simply taking the cells, a graft in the nose, opening the spinal column, placing them on, literally placing them on top of the spinal cord, and in 3 months, the cord is healed. So he was taking his first steps.
Amazing.
Same procedure done 17 years ago, and we know before Carlos passed away, he had done 180 of these. So you say to yourself, why wouldn't they let them do it? Well, the only reason they wouldn't let them do it, it would upset the apple cart. A whole economy stream in medicine would be affected. And that's the unfortunate part about it. But if they go through trials for 15 or 20 years and they develop a drug, then they can get approval and you will get that drug.
In Star Trek, when Dr. Bones McCoy, the chief medical officer of the Enterprise, used that little wand that he kind of moved over people to heal people. Do you think he was just in the show without them saying it, generating and regenerating stem cells?
Well, you never know, George. If we run into to the colonel or the captain, we could ask him. He's around town. I see him every now and then. Yeah. So this is it's an amazing science. There's no other way to describe it. So all of these people were appearing before the subcommittee. Dr. Kirschberg, Dr. Joanne Kirschberg, director of pediatrics for Duke University, was brought a young boy. And here's the rationale for freezing the umbilical cord of a newborn. These parents had done that with their newborn boy and found out later that he had developed cerebral palsy. So they brought the boy to Dr. Kirschberg, and she's done this many, many times since then. She was able to take the umbilical cord, extract the dysfunctioning stem cells, and reinfuse them, the healthy cells, reset the immune system, and that boy, 5 months later, declared completely free of cerebral palsy.
Well, it's safe to assume, and we can say this categorically, that this works.
It works.
Right? Yeah. Stem cells work. I mean, you brought us people who have called you from this show. Billy, for example, God rest his soul, died of something else.
Yeah, but, pancreatic cancer.
But for years, the doctor and the stem cells in his heart changed his life. He couldn't even walk 3 feet without having to stop. And then after he got the stem cells in his heart, he was doing miraculous things.
You know what? He's a kind of our poster boy. There's been several. I think probably 10 altogether. And unfortunately, in some of the trials that I was able to help them get into, 3 of the people ended up in the placebo arm.
One of the most emotional moments for me was when I met him in Boise, Idaho at one of my live stage show events. And I mean, to be able to call him up from the stage and just see a guy there and...
Here was an innocent guy, you know, and he had had 7 heart attacks. I've told this story more than once on the show. He had actually had 5 heart attacks when he called in and got Tom on the phone. He said, well, Christian, help me.
Tom has been known to give people a heart attack, so I can understand that.
You two go on, don't you? So anyway, I said, well, I will promise, and I don't say this lightly, I will stay with you as long as it takes.
And you did.
Yeah, and it took 2 more years. In the course of the 2 years, he had 2 more heart attacks. So we finally get him into the University of Utah.
I mean, desperately trying to get him into the program before he would die.
Yeah, and Dr. Patel, what a genius, said, Christian, I think we can help this man. And he performed a very unique procedure, TMR, and then he dosed him with his own stem cells and sent him home. And Billy was walking a 15-minute mile 6 or 8 weeks later, yeah, taking his picture. And all of a sudden, he finds out that he's dying of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah. Now, why couldn't we have injected the pancreas with stem cells, too? Or did they not have that?
No, they're working on that. They're working on it.
Because I think this is a miracle procedure.
It is no doubt a miracle procedure.
It's a gift from God.
I got one here for you, Georgie. This one is amazing. I reported to you sometime ago, I guess 4 years ago, that Neuroscience Institute in Canada, one of the directors had said he believed that if you can inject the stem cells into the brains of Alzheimer's patients, that those stem cells would dissolve the plaque.
Wow.
I also reported in the same issue that at Duke University, they found that when they injected turmeric into the brains of mice whose brains were totally infiltrated with amyloid beta plaque, they could dissolve it. So those two things were in my mind, in my pea brain. I'm thinking these two make sense.
You truly should be given an award for the work you've done.
No,
you really should. A Nobel Prize. Something.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, if our buddy Bob Dylan can get one for writing and poetry, and he deserves it, you should get something for the work you've done on stem cells.
Well, he does deserve it. You know, the other day I was talking to some millennial, and I said, we were talking, and I said, well, I was in the Boy Scouts. She said, oh, thank you for your service. I thought that was funny. Yeah, no, I don't.
Did they
have
Boy Scouts when you were around?
Oh, they were. Yeah, you know that. You know,
I'm on a roll tonight. Jeez.
Irving Berlin wrote "God Bless America."
Oh, great song.
Gave the royalties from that day on to the Boy Scouts of America.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we need people like that. We need that kind of character and that kind of.
Here's my quick quiz: who sang the song and everybody remembers it?
Kate Smith.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
She's on Independence Day and things like that. I played that version.
Yeah.
I mean, and she is
she's the only woman in Hollywood that never lost her figure.
I want to come back and talk about stem cells. We're going to take calls next hour, and who knows, you might have people that you might be able to help again, Christian. But your website is myheartbook.com, and you have developed your own turmeric formula based on the research that you found from not only this show but going out and doing some homework. And, I mean, it's miraculous. 228 FDA trial studies that Big Pharma is studying now, turmeric. We're going to find out from Christian why they're doing that. Now, also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You can email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Christian about turmeric. Why is it working on so many things? And also, we will take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Now, here's our next emerging artist, Ernest Matlin. The name of the song is Taos from Colorado Springs, Colorado.